gives the Vikings a 6-0 lead. Toss right to rookie Tevin Coleman. He gets loose. 30, 35, 40 to the 50. Cuts to the left. Oh, the ball poked away by Anthony Barr and picked up by Antone Exum. After Tevin Coleman ran a good 60 yards, Barr with the poke, Exum with the recovery, and the Vikings have turned over the Falcons. Takes the snap from Pershing. Matt steps up in the pocket, fires. Intercepted by the captain at the 25-yard line. And he tries to get up and run, but he was down. And the captain, Captain Munnerlyn, who played many games against Matt Ryan in the NFC South, has picked off and put a chill over the man they call Matty Ice. It's 4th and 1. Ryan out of the shotgun. He takes the snap on 4th and 1. Oh, he splits! And he's crushed by Anthony Barr on a strip sack. And the Vikings turn over the Atlanta Falcons. Anthony Barr, well done, young man. Tossed to Adrian following the 3 tight ends. Turns it up to the 35 from 30. Runs to a first down. And it's loose inside the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Vikings. And the Vikings seal the deal. It's an 8-3 team into next week's game against Seattle.
Yes, he does. Adrian Peterson runs the Vikings to an 8-3 record and first place in the NFC North, and it was glorious. And now we run into a Wobcast. Welcome to the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We are in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. We're here to talk about last week's win over the Atlanta Falcons and take a sneak peek at next week's opponent. It's the Seattle Seahawks. We're a little bit late in getting the Wobcast up this week. We're sorry for the delay, but every time we tried to start recording, Anthony Barr would strip the microphones from us, so we had a tough time getting going. Anthony Barr on fire right now for the Vikings defense. 2 forced fumbles in that game against the Atlanta Falcons. He had a huge sack before forcing the fumble of Matt Ryan in the 4th quarter. That pretty much ended any thought of a late game surge for the Falcons, and then, of course, set up that Adrian Peterson 28-yard touchdown run. So it was a very happy and joyous Vikings post-game locker room in Atlanta. Here's what it sounded like.
Hey, I'm proud, really proud of this team. I wanted this one really bad today, fellas. It meant a lot to me, okay? We ain't done yet now. We still got a long way to go. We got to keep fighting. Let's get in the training room, take care of our stuff. Let's stay on point. Let's keep grinding, huh? We got a heck of a football team here. We got to stick with it, all right?
That was a great job responding today by the guys. And after coming off of last week's performance, did a great job of just, you know, competing. And Coach Zimmer talked about, you know, being a physical team. I think we were that today. Atlanta's number one rush defense. And, you know, for us to come here and, you know, rush the ball the way we did today, you know, speaks volumes. You know, the guys took Coach Zimmer's message. And, you know, we just have to continue to compete.
Oh, yeah, good game. Great team win, you know. Offense, defense. Special teams and everybody played well today, so happy to get this win.
Anthony, how would you describe the confidence level of this unit defensively?
Defensively, very high, you know, especially, you know, we down 2 safeties and those guys came in and played huge for us, Antone and Robert Blanton. Man, I'm so proud of those guys, the way they came in and stepped up for us. And it goes from the front end to the back end, you know, and everybody in between. Everybody did a great job today.
You mentioned Exum, too.
I thought he was very important for us, you know, just kind of be, you know, resilient, bounce back, not staying in the funk. You know, so we took it personal, the loss last week, and we just came into this week against Atlanta just focused on them. You know, putting that game behind, it was a hard pill to swallow, but focus on the next week. And I feel like defensively, offensively, we came out, played hard, played aggressive, and we was able to make more plays than those guys today.
Okay, let's recap some of the good and some of the bad from that 20-10 victory for the Vikings in Atlanta. To me, takeaways coming at key times is one of the biggest factors in the Vikings win on Sunday. Anthony Barr forces a fumble in the 1st quarter at the Minnesota 34. Captain Munnerlyn grabs an interception off of Matt Ryan at the Minnesota 27. And Terrence Newman also gets an interception of Matt Ryan. His came in the end zone. So all 3 of those turnovers coming inside Vikings territory and ending what would likely have been Atlanta Falcons scoring drive. So takeaways are always big, but the timing of those takeaways, very important for the Vikings defense on Sunday. Number 2 in the good category, Adrian Peterson dominated. 29 carries, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That includes 10 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter, 11 touches for 84 yards in the fourth quarter, 5 runs of 11 or more yards for Adrian Peterson, including that 35-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter that basically iced the game. It was a complete and utter dominating performance by Adrian Peterson, your leading rusher in the NFL. The guy, he crossed that 30-year-old threshold, but he doesn't look a day older than he looked as a rookie. He is running smart and aggressive, angry and violent right now, and he paced the Vikings' offensive attack on Sunday. But not to go unnoticed was the performance of Teddy Bridgewater. We're putting his performance in the good category. You take a quick look at the box score, you might shake your head, but you take a deeper look at what happened, and you can see that Teddy's performance was key to that victory over Atlanta on Sunday. On the first scoring drive that resulted in a 1-yard Adrian Peterson touchdown run, there were 10 rushing yards on 5 carries. The rest of the offensive production came from Teddy Bridgewater, 5 of 7 for 67 yards on the first scoring drive. Later in the game, on a Blair Walsh field goal that extended the Vikings' lead, Teddy was 5 of 6 for 31 yards. All told, on 4 scoring drives, Teddy Bridgewater, 11 of 14 for 103 yards, had 1 bad interception early in the game, but overcame it, took no sacks in the game, got the Vikings out of bad plays, checked the Vikings into a bunch of runs, hit some key third downs. Teddy Bridgewater played very well for the Vikings on Sunday. Going back to the defense, how about Julio Jones? We said Adrian Peterson is the NFL's leading rusher. Well, Julio Jones is the NFL's leading receiver, but the Vikings held Julio in check. He came in averaging 8 catches and 110 yards per game. 8 catches and 110 yards per game on average. The Vikings held him to 5 catches, 3 below his average, and 56 yards. In 2 games against Julio Jones, Mike Zimmer's Vikings defense has held him to 11 catches for 138 yards and no touchdowns. That's over 2 games. So very good job by Mike Zimmer and that defensive coaching staff and the defensive players to keep Julio Jones in check. A big reason why the Vikings were able to keep Julio Jones in check: the safety stepped up. Harrison Smith did not travel to Atlanta while he's dealing with a knee injury. Antoine Exum Jr. got his first career start in front of lots and family and friends who made the trip to the Georgia Dome to watch him play. Exum delivered. 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and he's the one who fell on the forced fumble by Anthony Barr in the first quarter after a 46-yard run by the Atlanta Falcons. So a big play there by Exum. Also had a tackle for loss on a key series later on in the game that eventually led to a Vikings interception a couple of plays later. Another safety who stepped up, Robert Blanton, because Andrew Sendejo was forced from the game, was not able to come back and finish the game. So Robert Blanton played the bulk of the snaps, and he finished with 7 tackles and had a pass breakup. So a good job by the Vikings safeties of stepping up. At the end of the day, it's the 4th road win in a row for the Vikings. They are 4-2 on the road this season. Very good mark for a team that had struggled on the road in recent seasons. The Vikings get to 8 wins with 5 games to go. They are one of just 6 teams in the NFL with 8 wins. So a very good job by the Vikings. Things to improve upon are things we didn't like. Andrew Sendejo going down with a knee injury. His status for this Sunday remains uncertain at this point. The kickoff team got a little leaky again. Remember last week against the Packers, Jeff Janis had a 70-yard kickoff return. Eric Weems for the Falcons had a 44-yarder on Sunday. Blair with another missed field goal. He's now 24 of 28 on the season, and then the pass protection can improve a little bit, but we're nitpicking there after a Vikings victory, the 8th victory in 11 games. Not too much to frown at, but lots to smile at for the Vikings. Okay, we don't do it very often, but we're going to do it right now on the Wobcast. We're going to welcome in a guest, and our guest today is Ross Tucker. He's the host of The Morning Kickoff on Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88. Also hosts his own podcast called The Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can also catch Ross on Pro Football Talk, on the NBC Sports Network, as a college football game analyst for NBC Sports or the YES Network. And for those of you who still read to consume football content, you can catch Ross. He's a lead NFL columnist for the Sporting News. But another thing Ross does is he calls games, NFL games, on the radio. He called Vikings and Falcons this past weekend, so he took in a Vikings win, and it was glorious, Ross. We're glad you saw it.
Yeah, what a game. I mean, it was a really interesting game because, at least for the first three quarters, it was really long, clock-eating, time-consuming drives for both teams that would come up with very little points, if any. It was crazy. I mean, that was the fastest NFL game I've done in a while. I think it was over at 3:53. That never happens anymore. And it's because the teams both ran the ball a lot, obviously the Vikings especially, but there was the turnovers, the Bridgewater throw to Rudolph, and obviously the Falcons had their share as well, and the missed field goals, but it was an entertaining game overall. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Vikings fans, Ross, have grown accustomed to watching Adrian Peterson run wild, and that's what he did on Sunday. He had 29 carries for 158 yards. I saw one of your comments in the Ross Tucker football podcast about the game was Adrian willed the Vikings to that win.
It really felt that way. I mean, they're going against the number one rush defense in the NFL, and it just felt like North Turner and Mike Zimmer said, you know what? We're going to put this game and this team on this guy's back because we think he's strong enough to handle it. There was plenty of runs where there was nothing there or he only got a couple yards, but he is relentless, man. I mean, they are relentless. I give North Turner a lot of credit. You know, nobody ever says an offensive coordinator is a genius because they hand the ball to the running back 30 times. But he was, because that's exactly what the team needed to get the win. And the thing with Peterson is, he's such a violent runner, but he has the long speed that if you just keep feeding it, if you just keep giving him the ball, I think eventually, more often than not, the dam will break. And he'll get a long run like he got, which pretty much sealed the win. It's just so fun to watch him, and he's the perfect complement, really, to what they've got going on defense and still having a young emerging quarterback in Bridgewater.
What I think it was, Ross, and I know that you'll appreciate this because you tweeted about it, at Ross Tucker NFL is where you can catch Ross on Twitter. I think Adrian must have had a bunch of the Booyah casserole in the press box before the game.
Well, that Booyah was delicious. Did you have any of that?
Yeah, I had some of that. I had some of that on top of the rice. It was really good.
I never heard of chicken Booyah before in my life. It was delicious. I'm a big fan. I don't know what it was, man. Whatever he drinks or eats, I need to get some of it because it's just incredible at his age and after a full year off, which maybe in hindsight could have helped him. We thought that that might be the case. Less tread on the tires, so to speak. He really looks as good as ever. And I'll add to that, Mike, by complimenting Jeff Davidson, Hank Braley, and this offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the offensive line of an 8-3 team. With a quarterback, I think it's probably been up and down. I think that's fair to say in terms of Teddy this year. But they're doing it without, I would argue, their two best offensive linemen. How many other teams out there could really have success without their two best offensive linemen and Phil Lowell and John Sullivan? That makes everything they're accomplishing, you know, even more impressive to me. Berger's kind of a career backup journeyman like I was. T.J. Clemmings, obviously, is a rookie that we saw and recognized has a lot to learn, but they just have trusted those guys enough, and they're getting the job done, which is a credit to those O-line coaches.
Yeah, I think that's well stated, and I want to follow up with you on that because, you know, this is one thing. You know, when you're 8-3, Ross, even after victories, you can get some of the fans who don't like certain things, and they can nitpick, and that is their right to do that. And one of the things we're hearing a lot here, and I shared this with you yesterday, is, you know, the passing game is not putting up gaudy numbers. So is there concern, do you think, or should the Vikings apologize for the way they're winning games right now?
No, not at all. Because there are plenty of teams out there that are putting up really gaudy passing numbers that stink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ask Blake Bortles and the Jags, or ask Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. You know, a lot of times, gaudy passing numbers are a product of being behind in the game and having to throw a lot to get back in the game. I mean, if you look some of Teddy's best numbers this year have been that Denver game or that Green Bay game. Well, they lost both games by double digits, so who cares?
Right.
You know, I mean, the recipe that it's the coach's job to come up with is the recipe to win, not the recipe to appease fantasy football owners.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. And I will also say this. I think that they're getting there. You know, I think Diggs did a dumb penalty, but they've got a young emerging receiver. They're finally getting Kyle Rudolph involved in the passing game more. I'm not exactly sure what took so long there. That kind of surprised me, just knowing North Turner's history. But the last 2 weeks, I'd say, were promising in that regard. And I think they're on their way there. I mean, I really do. I think they get enough out of Teddy Bridgewater scrambling or moving around the pocket and then throwing the ball. I came away impressed by him. You know, even with the numbers aren't big, he's making the plays, with the exception of that interception that he tried to force to Rudolph. He's making winning plays in clutch situations, which is the number one thing you want in a quarterback. I think that gets twisted in the fantasy football-centric world we live in about statistics, and people look at fantasy numbers and discuss how good quarterbacks are. What really matters to me is situational football and making critical plays at critical times for the team to win, and any more importantly, Mike, not making critical mistakes at critical times. Ask the Falcons and Matt Ryan about that, with that pick he threw to Newman, right? I mean, those are the type of things that will get you beat every time.
That's right. I mean, Matt Ryan's two interceptions, Ross, one to Captain Munnerlyn came at the Minnesota 27, the other to Newman came in the end zone. So, I mean, turnovers are always big. Timing and location of turnovers, though, very critical in that game. Now, speaking of defense, though, I want to flip this around, because you played offensive line in the NFL for Washington, Dallas, Buffalo, the Patriots. I mean, you have some experience playing offensive line in the NFL. So from an offensive lineman standpoint, from an offensive standpoint, Ross, when you look at a Mike Zimmer defense, what are you looking at?
Well, number one, you know they're always going to play their balls off. They're always going to play really, really hard. Yep. I was actually with Mike Zimmer in 2002 with the Cowboys, and 2003 until Parcells cut me. So I love the guy. I always have. Every guy that's ever played with him loves him, because there's no BS to him. You know, players have a very good BS meter, right? Players can see a phony almost immediately. And there's a lot of guys that become head coaches and they start to act a little bit differently than what they really are. That's not Zimmer. He's the same guy he's always been, which is why Peterson reported when Zimmer said, well, he's either going to play for us or he's not going to play. When Peterson heard Zimmer say that, he's like, oh, I better go in, because he knew. I mean, he knew that means that if Zimmer says it, he means it. And I think that the guys on defense recognize that. And they got a good thing going right now. Defensively, their tackle rotation, Sharif Floyd and Linval Joseph, even Tom Johnson had a couple bad penalties, but they're playing well. Anthony Barr had an unbelievable football game.
Yes.
And is really coming into his own. You know, even Greenway, who's really just out there on early down and distance, you know, as kind of a run-stuffing linebacker now, he's filling that role very well, filling the leadership role aspect of that with young guys like Kendricks and Barr on the team. I love what the Vikings have going. And I'm not telling you anything you probably don't know or think, Mike, but there is not a dominant team in the NFC. I mean, I think the Panthers are there, but I don't look at the Panthers as being unbeatable. Would I be surprised if the Vikings made the Super Bowl? Yes. But I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, I think that, you know, if they can get a bye and, you know, have to play, win one, you know, one game against a wild card team, and then they get to, you know, an NFC Championship game in Carolina, in a one-game scenario like that, they could win that game, certainly.
Yeah. Well, on your latest podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which you can find on Twitter because Ross tweets it out, or at Ross's website, rostucker.com, you have, Ross, the Vikings sixth in your power rankings. The NFC teams ahead of the Vikings, Ross, in your power rankings are Arizona and Carolina. So tell me this. What do the Vikings need to keep doing to stay where they are or get better over the last five games?
Well, I think just the consistency. You know, I would have had them closer to being ahead of Arizona, but that Packers game was a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt like they were kind of stepping up in class, so to speak, and it felt like they were not able to match the level of the Packers. Now, that game, at this point, looks like an aberration for the Packers and an aberration for the Vikings, because that was a one-off for both those teams, surprisingly enough, at this point. But, you know, to me, that makes it hard. It felt like when they went against a really quality opponent there that they really kind of got handled. So they just need to keep proving it week in and week out, continue their formula, and when they face, you know, this different competition, rise to the challenge.
Yep, yep. One more thing, because I know we got to get going. Is it crazy, Ross, for an NFC team, talking the Vikings, to want to go to the NFC East winner in the playoffs rather than host a game against, like, Seattle or Green Bay in the wild card round?
Wow, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of that, so you just brought that up. Not crazy at all. I mean, if I'm the Vikings, you know, they don't look at it this way, but I'd much rather play at New York or at Washington probably than hosting the Seahawks or the Packers. That's fascinating thing. The problem with that is that's not – I mean, you play to win and you can't even – go there mentally until maybe week 17. But I've been in this situation before that I'm not convinced in the Dolphins game in week 17 in 2005 that Belichick wasn't hoping we lost that one on purpose for seeding purposes. So it's also not, you know, totally outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to see how it all plays out. You know, you said the Vikings, when they play a good team, it's going to be a test to see if they can remain consistent. The Vikings' next two games, the Seahawks at home and at Arizona. So the Vikings will indeed be tested, and we'll see what happens. Ross, what's your schedule here? Which games are you calling coming up?
I've got the Texans and the Bills this Sunday, and then the Steelers and the Bengals next Sunday, and actually Monday night, I'll be on the sideline for Westwood One of the Cowboys at the Redskins, a game that I played in multiple times for both teams, each team.
Yep, that's a big game for you. Okay, well, we thank you for joining. Everyone listening can catch Ross on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, on SiriusXM NFL Radio, the morning kickoff, and you can catch his podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We know you're a busy man, Ross, so thank you for taking 10 minutes to chat with us, and hopefully we'll see you down the road. You're our good luck charm. I think you're 2-0 at Vikings games, so we want you at more of our games.
Sounds awesome, Mike. I love that you guys do this podcast. I'm a big fan of podcasts.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Sounds great.
We go from our buddy Ross Tucker to our friends at the Around the NFL podcast. They took a look at the Vikings and Falcons game, and they too came away impressed with the purple.
The Minnesota Vikings are again sitting atop the NFC North by themselves. Adrian Peterson ran for 158 yards and two touchdowns, leading the Vikings to a 20-10 win over the fading Atlanta Falcons. Chris Wessling, Minnesota might not blow us away on a week-to-week basis, but they know who they are.
They do. They have a winning formula. Adrian Peterson and a good defense. And Peterson is hitting his stride. The offensive line is blocking better. He's averaging 127 yards rushing over the past 5 weeks. And I think the defense, Anthony Barr had a great game. Had two forced fumbles, strip sack in the fourth quarter, and a fumble on Tevin Coleman at the end of a long run earlier in the game. Also played good pass defense, knocking a ball away from Tevin Coleman down the sideline. Those were the stars of the game, Peterson and Anthony Barr.
It seems like a very good run-blocking line, or they're getting better that way, but the last few Vikings games I watched, Teddy Bridgewater's getting hit a lot, so it sounds like from that side of it, they're struggling.
A lot of that's on him. He's a great scrambler, but he has to know when to slide and when to throw the ball away, and he's taking these hits that aren't the fault of the offensive line. They're the fault of Teddy Bridgewater.
Wes was trying to convince me before these games started that this game didn't matter at all, even though it was two teams that would have been in the playoffs, you know, going into today, because the Falcons, you said their season was over. Even going into this game at 6-4, ready to stick a fork in them if we could right now at 6-5.
No game involving the Falcons is a big game because they stink. I mean, they're a bad team. They've lost, what, 5 or 6 in some of these games to bad, bad teams. They've lost. They're not even losing to good teams.
Lucky they're not 3-8.
Yeah, that's fair. This is the first win the Vikings have had over a winning team all season. It might be the only win that they get over a team with a winning record all season, and I still would fully expect them to get to the playoffs looking at their schedule. I think they're definitely going to get a couple more wins.
I would too. You take away the Packers loss, this defense is legitimate. I mean, it's not their fault that they didn't play a lot of winning teams because they had the league's easiest schedule up until about 3 weeks ago, but they took care of business too, and I see a Mike Zimmer defense that's getting better every week.
All bets are off in the NFC North now because after what happened on Thursday night in Green Bay, and we talked about it on NFL Now, Greg, that was one of the more shocking outcomes of the season. I thought the Bears were being led to slaughter, and the Packers again showed how flawed they are. And now you see the Vikings taking care of business week after week, and you can no longer assume the Packers are just going to get back on track. The Vikings might win this division and be in really good position in January.
They probably have the best, even though the Packers' defensive line outplayed them when the two of them played. On paper, they have the best defensive line, if you want to throw Barr in there, front seven, really, of that division. Barr is fun to watch week after week. I mean, when you're thinking of like a 2015-style linebacker who's that dynamic in pass coverage, I mean, he makes plays in pass coverage every week. He's really the NFC's version of Jamie Collins, but probably a little. If I had to choose one of them, I would take Barr even long term, as good as Jamie Collins is.
Okay, before we go to Nate Vaughn and the NFC North update, a couple of things to tie up here. General talkers from the Vikings-Falcons game. The Vikings come away with an 8-3 record after the victory. So 5 games to go, and playoffs is on everyone's mind, of course. The good news is the Vikings have a little mini playoff trial run coming up with games against teams who are either going to make the playoffs or who are fighting to make the playoffs. So good tests for the Vikings. The Seahawks are next at home. Then it's at Arizona on Thursday night. The Bears and the Giants come here in back-to-back weeks in weeks 15 and 16, and then you close at Green Bay. Aside from being potential playoff teams, there's one other common component in all of these games that could be a factor in the playoffs as well. Most of them are going to be cold weather games. This weekend will be a cold weather game against Seattle. Of course, it'll be nice in Arizona, but then the final 3 games, home Chicago, home Giants, at Lambeau Field, will all be cold weather games. So big tests for the Vikings coming up. Okay, let's take a closer look at the Vikings division. The division the Vikings are trying to win is the NFC North. So we're going to have Nate Vaughn take us for a spin around the division to review what happened last week and take a look to see what's ahead this week.
Well, it was a busy Thanksgiving day in the NFC North.
It was. We
were the only team that didn't
right.
play.
We got to enjoy Thanksgiving Day. We got to eat and watch football. Everyone else in our division had to work.
That's true. That's very true. One of those teams, the Detroit Lions, they crushed the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Detroit, all of a sudden, a pretty hot team. They've won 3 straight. They're still 4-7, so the record itself is still not the most impressive thing. But 5 touchdown passes from Stafford, 3 of them to Calvin Johnson. He always seems to play well on Thanksgiving. Well, he plays well most of the time.
All the time, yeah.
And Thanksgiving just being 1 game out of the season.
Everyone just gets to see it, though.
That's true.
Like, everyone's watching it, you know?
That's true. So Detroit sneakily becoming one of those teams that you're glad is not on the Vikings schedule the rest of the way.
No doubt about it, for sure. Since, you know, they fired a bunch of people, and not making light of that, you hate seeing people lose their jobs, but and whether it's coincidence or whether there's actually a rhyme and reason to it, since those firings, the Lions are 3-0, scoring 27 points per game, Nate, allowing only 14 points per game. Matthew Stafford in the last 3 games, touchdown to interception ratio of 7-1 and a 106.5 passer rating. So he's playing very well since big changes in Detroit. And you're right. It's a good thing the Detroit Lions are not on our schedule. I think we could still beat them, but we don't have to worry about it. They're a hot team. They will not be coming here, and we will not be going there, and I think that's a good thing. It's nice to have those 2 wins under our belt.
Another hot team in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, did us a favor. and they took down the Packers 17-13 on Thanksgiving night. I'm sure doing the Vikings a favor wasn't number one on their priority list for the week, but hey, we will take it. They held off a big fourth and goal attempt at the end of the game to seal the deal. The Bears are now 5-6. They've won three of the last four, and the Packers are 7-3, a full game behind us again in the NFC North.
Were you watching that game?
I was.
I mean, you thought that Green Bay was going to score, didn't you?
Well, yeah, well, that's what they've done for years.
Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe John Fox could go for it on fourth and one on the Bears' possession before that. They decide not to. They decide to punt and give Green Bay the ball and play some defense. And John Fox, his defense responds. They hold the Packers out of the end zone. The Chicago Bears, you're right, Nate, they're suddenly a resurgent team. And that Week 15 game against the Bears suddenly does not look too easy for us. Over the last four games, the Chicago Bears, number five scoring defense in the NFL in terms of points per game allowed. Number five. Better than the Vikings, the Panthers, the Patriots, the Broncos, and Seattle. Better than all those teams in scoring defense over the last four games. So Jay Cutler playing well at Bears defense is coming around. John Fox has his guys playing very well. That's a big game, big Vikings-Bears game in Week 15 here in Minnesota.
And finally, our guys, the Vikings, claim sole possession of first place in the North again with the win over Atlanta. We already talked about the game itself. Adrian Peterson, Anthony Barr kind of led the way for their respective sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. Vikings now 8-3, fourth straight road win, which hasn't happened since when?
Like 1998, I think.
It's a few years, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, road woes have been a real thing here for the Vikings. And for right now, Mike Zimmer and the Vikings have it figured out. Winning four straight on the road, that's quite the accomplishment.
So looking ahead to Week 13 matchups, the Green Bay Packers are at Detroit on Thursday night. So a Thursday night game, Packers and Lions. The San Francisco 49ers are traveling to Chicago this Sunday to take on the Bears. And we host the Seattle Seahawks, one of the bigger games of the week, I think. So should be a good matchup here in Minneapolis on Sunday.
Yeah, once again, Vikings and Seahawks. The Vikings last week playing the Falcons, that was one of just two games between teams who would be in the playoffs if the playoffs had started that day. In fact, the Vikings and Falcons would have met in the playoffs if last week's game was a playoff game. Coincidentally, if the playoffs started this week, do you know what one of the playoff games would be?
Let me guess, Vikings-Seahawks.
Yes, Vikings hosting Seahawks. So,
interesting.
Another kind of tentacle to that mini trial playoff run the Vikings have coming up here. This would indeed be a first-round matchup in the NFC wildcard round, Vikings and Seahawks. So, yep, big game for both teams Sunday at noon.
All right, we'll move on to an over-under recap. Let's take a look at how you did last week. Entered the week 14-15, so still hovering right at that 500 mark, Wabi.
Yeah, I don't like it, and I don't think I did well this week. I think the old proverbial back's going to be up against the wall in the late week Wobcast over-under guessing game. I think I fell down another notch or two.
We'll see if you can make a run at the end of the year.
Okay.
I don't think it'll start this week, though.
Okay.
The first we took a look at was passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
We know he likes playing in domes. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 260 yards passing.
Three dome games, 260 yards per game. That was my angle for taking the over on this number. On top of that, I thought, Atlanta would be overplaying the run and we could go over the top on them.
Maybe Atlanta was overplaying the run, but either way, they couldn't stop it.
Right.
So Teddy didn't have to do a whole lot.
And we just kept running.
Teddy ended up 20 of 28 for 174 yards and that pick you mentioned early in the game. So 20 of 28, hey, that's not bad at all. And when you have number 28 in the backfield, you'll take that most times.
For sure. And again, going back to what we talked about earlier, doing the good and the bad from the game, I put Teddy's performance in the good bucket, and that's legitimate. Completing 20 of 28 passes is a high percentage. Teddy did a good job of taking care of the ball. He did have the interception on a pass to Kyle Rudolph. Safety came over and made a good play. So definitely a mistake there. And then I thought he might have missed Mike Wallace earlier in the game when Mike was breaking open down the left seam for what could have been a big gain. But many, many more positive plays than poor plays for Teddy Bridgewater. Efficient, did a good job. He didn't take any sacks. And on that first scoring drive, 67 of the yards gained on that first scoring drive were Teddy Bridgewater passes. So I thought Teddy played very well.
You mentioned an open Mike Wallace. We've seen him get open a decent amount of times, but that not necessarily equaling a big amount of targets.
Mm-hmm.
So we put the receptions for Mike Wallace, the over-under at 3.5. And you took the over. You thought he would get a lot of receptions in that game. That proved to be incorrect as well.
Right. So we're wrong. I was wrong on this one. And yeah, I just thought that, you know, I didn't see 39 runs coming in this game. You know, not because the Vikings don't want to run or not because they couldn't run on Atlanta. I just thought it would be a little bit more of an even match in the running game and we would have to go to the air a little bit more than we had to, but it wasn't an even match. The Vikings dominated the Falcons' run defense, and they stuck with it, and rightfully so.
Most of those running yards for the Vikings coming from Adrian Peterson. We took a look at Adrian, who has the most rushing yards in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and Julio Jones, who had the most receiving yards in the NFL, and we put the over-under at 175.5 total yards between the two of them. And you took the over. You were correct. I'm guessing you didn't really expect 77% of those yards to come from our guy.
No. And if Julio was held to 0 catches for 0 yards and had 0 rushes for 0 yards, I still would have been right. That's how good Adrian was.
It's true.
He carried me on that over, and I should be used to it. That's what Adrian does. He the leading rusher in the NFL, and for reason, another 100-yard performance by him, and he gets me my lone correct guess on this week's over-unders. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, note will be in the mail.
So you finish the week at 1-2, overall record 15-17. You're getting down to that crunch time where you're going to have to start putting it together and make a run.
Well, here's the deal. Good news, bad news. The bad news is I'm 2 games below .500. The good news is I can make that up in 1 week, and I plan to do so later this week.
I'm excited to see that.
Isn't it riveting?
It is.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up here. The playoff picture, Nate, right now, we would be the number 3 seed in the NFC behind the Arizona Cardinals, who would be the number 2 seed, and the Carolina Panthers, who would be the number 1 seed. Do you see that changing as we go down the stretch?
I think if it does, a big reason why will be that Thursday night game in a few weeks, us going down to Arizona.
Yep.
That game is going to say a lot. Not that we should be looking ahead to that. I mean, Seattle certainly is looking great, and we know that that's kind of their MO is they make late season runs, and they look primed to do just that. So
yeah, I think the next 2 weeks will determine the chances of the Vikings getting a first round bye. The top 2 seeds get a first round bye, and listen, when you're 8-3, these are things you can talk about. You know, obviously the players and coaches need to focus on just what's ahead of them right now. But when you're 8-3, you get to look at big picture stuff. And for the Vikings, that's the question of whether or not they can A, win their division, and then B, once they secure a division title, can they be one of the top 2 teams, one of the top 2 seeds in the playoffs and get that first round bye? To me, we're going to pretty much have that figured out a week from Thursday when the Vikings play at the Arizona Cardinals. The Vikings play the Seahawks this week. At Arizona next week, we'll have a very good idea of whether or not a first-round bye is a realistic possibility once that Cardinals game is over. For those of you who like to scoreboard watch and look ahead, the Arizona Cardinals are at St. Louis this week, and then they host us next week. The Carolina Panthers are at New Orleans this week, and then they host the Falcons next week. Your Green Bay Packers are at Detroit on Thursday night, as Nate went over in the NFC North recap, and then they're hosting Dallas next week and at Oakland the following week. So those are 3 teams to keep an eye on, as well as your Minnesota Vikings, who will host the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. We have much more to get to when it comes to Vikings and Seahawks, so we're going to take a deep dive and preview that game later in the week on the next edition of the Wobcast. But for now, this edition of the Wobcast is over. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw. Have a good week. We'll talk to you later.
Oh yeah, I started with